Wow, I actually asked Ali to sing that, if we could sing that song today, because I thought it really says what I want to say, really, that, yeah, that through the storm, he is Lord. He's Lord of everything. This term, we've started looking at how we can strengthen our roots with God and deepen our relationship with him. And today I'm going to be talking about withstanding life's storms. When I started thinking about how I have survived my storms, and I'm going to talk a bit about that later, I started making a few notes of things that I thought might help me to write this sermon. And then I started looking into some Bible passages, and I found Psalm 145 that Lance read earlier. And I found that it really just backed up everything that I wanted to say. So that's why we had that reading. So I'm going to be talking about a bit of my journey, but I'm going to be bringing in Psalm 145 as we go along. I'm sure that all of us here this morning are on various parts of life's emotional journey. Some of us may feel that we're just bobbing along happily at the moment, and that's great. Some of us may feel that we're in the darkest depths, and I think that most of us are probably somewhere in between, I would have thought. We all know, I'm sure, that being a Christian doesn't exclude us from the storms of life. God never says that life is going to be easy. And all our storms are different, and they cause different reactions in each of us. You know, we might be going through something similar, but it might affect you completely differently to the way it affects me. But I hope that as I tell you some of the things that helped me, that you'll be able to take something away that will strengthen you or encourage you, or that you can use to help somebody else going through a tough time. Before I go any further, I just wanted to say that I don't stand up here with all the answers by any means. I feel very humble talking to you about what I went through and how I kind of muddled through it, because at the time I didn't really know what I was doing. And I know lots of people here have battled through some really tough times and have come out stronger and more in tune with God. And I hope that all of us here can be a blessing to others by sharing the things that have kept us going and by supporting others in similar situations. Many of you here, I think, will know at least some of my story and the big storm that I had to battle through, but I know there'll be those of you who don't. So I'll just give a brief outline of what I went through. From 2003 to 2010, I was living in Uganda. I went out there to do some youth work. And in 2005, I married Patrick, a Ugandan I had met there. And we had Zara, who's now 6, 3 years later. Then when Zara was 16 months old, I found out that my husband was addicted to gambling and had had affairs during our 4 years of marriage. So I then spent 4 months in Uganda trying to find out the extent of the lies and the deception, and having to decide to leave my home, my 2 jobs, my church and my friends there. And we moved back to Southborough in February 2010. Seems so long ago now. Zara was only 20 months old at that point. And we lived with my parents for a year after that. Patrick and I have been divorced for nearly 3 years now, and Zara has Skype contact with her dad, who now lives in New York, about once a week. So as you can imagine, I've had to work through and deal daily, really, with emotions of grief and anger, confusion, guilt, loss of confidence. My world was turned completely upside down, and there was only one thing I could hang on to, and that was God. These emotions and feelings of complete helplessness will be familiar to many of us, I'm sure. What I went through felt like a fairly major storm, and it was a fairly major storm, especially as most of my life before that had been pretty easy, really. I feel like the worst of the storm is now over, but I still get aftershocks now and again. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was just in church and watching some of the couples in church around me, and I just was hit by this immense sadness at what I've lost. And then recently hearing about a colleague at work who's got 2 girls and whose husband has just walked out on her, it just brings back all those feelings again of sadness and anger. But that's what life is like, isn't it? Ups and downs and little kind of blips in between, and we all have to deal with that. In those initial weeks and months after Patrick and I separated, I literally had to cling on to the things that I knew about God. I had to just tell myself that God was there and he did know what was going on, even though it didn't feel like it. But I couldn't see any better way of getting through it. I don't know if you were here last week for John's talk, but that really reminded me that actually God was there with me through it all, and he was in me. And even though at the time I couldn't really pray or read the Bible, I did know that God was there and that he was with me. One of the reasons that I was able to be so sure of God and his promises was the foundation that I have from growing up in a Christian family. Can we have the next slide, Charlotte? Thanks. And I think having had years of figuring out what I believed and who God is, and I have my parents to thank a lot for that. But I also think that there was things that I did for myself while I had the time and the energy that helped to build up that foundation. Things like when I was at university, I was lucky enough to be able to do a theology course. And, you know, reading Christian books, serving God when you can. Many of us won't have been brought up in Christian homes. And you might feel like you don't really have a strong foundation. But I think if we can build up that foundation in the good times, then it will really strengthen us in the bad times. God is there through the bad times, whether we feel it or not. And if we know his promises and know who this God is that we trust, then we're much more likely to be able to cling on to him when we need to. Right, let's have a look at Psalm 145. Verses 8 and 9 say this: "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made." And then in verse 13 it says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made." I'm going to tell you some of the practical things that I did now to help me kind of get through those really bad times. And one of the things that I did was to help me remember some of God's promises to me, was to write them on post-it notes or on bits of paper and stick them up on my kitchen cupboards. Because, you know, we all go in the kitchen probably several times a day, and it's really good to have those things there in front of us. Right from the start, one of the things that I knew I needed was sleep with a toddler to look after. So I found Psalm 4, verse 8. I can't even remember how I found it now. But I stuck it on my bed near my pillow, and it says this: "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." I was actually really scared while I was still in Uganda, kind of trying to decide what to do, about maybe Patrick wanting to take Zara away or people that he owed money to. So I stuck that by my bed, by my pillow, and I prayed that every night in the first few months, kind of just as a prayer that God would look after me and that he'd help me to sleep. And it worked some of the time, and some of the time it didn't. But it just reminded me that he was there with me and that I was in his hands. I also found that a lot of the songs that we sing have God's promises in them. So I had some songs stuck on my cupboard. One of the songs that I had stuck up there said, "All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship." And I think if I was sticking one on my cupboard now, it would be the one that we just sung, "Cornerstone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all." So surrounding ourselves with the promises of God, I think, might be the difference between despair and hope. In the midst of a situation that maybe hasn't got any answers or you can't see any way out of, just reading a promise that says that God loves me and that he wants good things for me brings some peace and some hope. At the start, I would find myself singing songs in church through floods of tears because I knew that I just had to keep on saying that God is good and that he is Lord. Otherwise, I'd just be focusing on the problems and the fact that I couldn't see any way out of them. Back to Psalm 145. Further on, it says this: "The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food at the proper time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing." The other thing that I found is really important when we're struggling is to recognize God's hand in our lives. He does lift us up and he does carry us, but unless we're looking at him, we maybe don't always recognize those things. During those first few months, God was gracious and he showed me things when I needed reassuring, and he put people with me every step of the way, and he gave me peace about all the decisions I had to make. Looking back, he was there every step of the way, but in the midst of it, I remember questioning whether I was making decisions that were just right for me or whether it was actually God's peace that I was feeling. And looking back, I can see what God was doing, and I can see where he was taking Zara and I. But at the time, I had to really trust that what I was feeling was God, because he does promise to be always with us. I'd say that God is working in our lives a lot more than we realise. So if you think something could be God, it probably is. And hang on to it and recognise that glimmer of hope as God working. Back to Psalm 145 again. Verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him." I don't know about you, but I find it hard to pray at the best of times. I find that the prayers that are the easiest ones are those really short, spontaneous ones. You know, something happens and you think, oh God, please work in that situation or do something. Back at the start, when I was in the midst of my storm, I found actually that I couldn't really pray. All I could do was cry out to God. I couldn't, you know, formulate what I wanted to say to him, but I would cry out to him in anger and frustration. And the Bible says that he hears us when we do this. I think a lot of the time we think we can't be angry at God, but actually he doesn't mind. God, I don't think God wants superficial prayers. I think he wants to know what we feel in the depths of our hearts. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being angry at God or crying out for him to do something. I remember some of the lowest times that I had, just sobbing out to God that I couldn't do it anymore and that he needed to help. And I didn't know how he was going to help or whether he even could help. But I know that he always did something when I cried out to him. Sometimes he showed me more deception and more mess, but actually looking back, that was what I needed to know at the time. And also, I think crying in itself is healing, isn't it? When we make ourselves vulnerable and honest about what we're feeling, then God can come in and can start healing us and comforting us. And the last thing I want to talk about is just encouraging each other. One of the things I found really helpful through the tough times was just coming to church and trying to get to things like Revive and New Wine, and especially trying to get to things on my own without Zara, because much as I love her, they can be a bit of a distraction, can't they? There's something about being with other Christians that really encourages us and helps us and gives us hope. And I think that by coming to church, we're kind of opening ourselves up to God and giving him permission to work in us. Saying that, though, church seemed to be the place where I most regularly ended up in tears as God spoke to me and was healing me. Just by singing our praise to God and by worshipping him and allowing others to pray for us, we are declaring that God is Lord in our lives, because we're saying we want him to do something and not whatever the situation is that we're going through. There's a couple of verses in the New Testament which talk about encouraging one another and building each other up as we meet together. One of them's up there, Hebrews 10:25. "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." Sorry, it's gone off the bottom. And then the next slide, Charlotte. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And I think this is a challenge for all of us who feel like we're just bobbing along happily at the moment. Are we looking for ways to encourage one another? Are we looking for ways that we can help those who are struggling around us? Are we building each other up when we're meeting together? I still have a picture by my bed, which I got at the first Revive that I came to, so it must be about 4 years ago now. I was having a bit of a cry, and Dedo came and prayed for me and gave me some scripture. And then I got a picture in my mind of Jesus supporting me and carrying Zara. And I asked my sister, who's a bit of an artist, to draw it, and I've got that still by my bed. I find I most often get pictures and encouragement from God when I'm praying with other people, rather than when I'm just on my own at home. Sometimes coming to church might feel a bit like a habit or a routine, but actually it's making a statement about what's important in our lives, and it gives us time and space to worship God. I just want to read you a quote from a guy who lived around about 1700, I think, and it's still on my cupboard in the kitchen. It says, "How God rejoices over a soul which, surrounded on all sides by suffering and misery, does that upon the earth which the angels do in heaven, namely loves, adores, and praises God." Psalm 145 talks a lot about proclaiming who God is and telling each other of his goodness and his mighty works. As I finish, I'd just like to challenge each of us to not only find out the promises that God has for us, but also to encourage one another with those promises and to praise God for who he is in every situation and in all circumstances. As I was writing this, I was actually encouraged to look up some of those promises again. And I went back to my Bible and flicked through the Psalms and found that I had lots of promises underlined. So what I've done is I've made a few bookmarks with some promises of God on them. And if you'd like to take one away with you at the end and just use it to remind yourself of what God promises us, then do. As we finish, I'm just going to read Psalm 145 again. And what I'd encourage you to do is just maybe close your eyes and listen and just see which bit of it God is saying to you today. Take some of those promises for yourself. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you're with us through every step of our lives, Lord, in every situation. And we thank you so much for all those things that you promise us. And we pray that you will just remind us of those things when we need them, Lord. Help us to encourage one another and build each other up. Thank you for your love, Lord. Amen.